Pink smoke is in the air. That means legendary goals.
Oh, it's a cannon shot. Go ahead and give him the goal of the week.
Heroic saves.
Outstanding point blank save. You are denied.
Inter Miami Soccer is on ESPN 106.3.
Gol de Messi.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Back where the Herons belong, and that is in the win column and playing great football. Welcome on in, folks. Pink Smoke, Mike Rizzo, and Damian Perez. And folks, I am relieved to say that Damian Perez is the official co-host and producer of the show. D, welcome on in, brother.
Let's go.
You guys, you know, for my loyal listeners of Pink Smoke, Damian, you know, he'd be in and out. Well, we ended all that.
You couldn't get rid of me.
No, we ended all that. Shout out to Brian Rowitz, our content director, Dave Judah, our director of ops. We made it happen to have Damian in here every single Wednesday on Pink Smoke. And folks, you know, as you know, we go through everything Inter Miami, the latest news, the latest games. You know, we'll do a little Messi mania here in just a second. Presented by our good friends at PNC, we'll go through that last game, that big win against New York Red Bulls. Got them back in the win column and back, you know, into playing good soccer. Damian, I was worried there for a little bit.
We needed that.
I was really worried for our Herons. You know, losing 2-0 to Vancouver on the road, losing 4-3 to Dallas in a true look-ahead game. I call that Dallas loss a look-ahead game. No one played in it. You went up 3-1. You end up losing 4-3. And then let's not even talk about what happened, you know, two Wednesdays ago in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. I'm trying to erase that from my mind. But a big win for Inter Miami over the New York Red Bulls. And I got all the highlights. I got all the action. Our good buddy Ken LaVica was on the call for the game. You're going to hear him. Let's go through a little Messi mania here, presented by our good friends at PNC.
It's time for a little Messi mania on Pink Smoke, presented by PNC Bank. The latest match results, highlights, and everything Messi starts now. Brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Learn more at PNC.com. PNC Bank, National Association member FDIC.
Folks at PNC Bank, they couldn't be more excited to serve the South Florida community. You may be wondering, isn't PNC that boring bank? Well, depends. Is starting a business boring? Or being the first person in your family to go to college boring? For nearly 160 years, they've done the hard and, yes, occasionally boring work of banking to deliver brilliant results for their clients. That's why they have dedicated teams throughout the local area all ready to do the boring work to help you unlock your own brilliance. Let's see what boring banking can do for you. And folks, PNC Bank prides themselves on being boring, but the truth is they couldn't be more excited to serve this beautiful South Florida community. For 160 years, they've toiled away to deliver brilliant results for their brilliant clients. And now their dedicated financial teams are ready to do the boring work to help you unlock your own brilliance. Let's see what boring banking can do for you. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. PNC Bank, National Association member FDIC. All right, let's get into a little Messi mania where, as the big voice guys say, you know, we go through the latest news surrounding the team, the latest highlights, what exactly happened with the great one, Lionel Messi, last game against New York Red Bulls. Now, plenty of highlights in this one because Inter Miami were winners 4-1 in this game. And one of my favorites, Damian, starts us off here on the highlights with our good buddy, Fafa Pico, making this thing 1-0 early on.
It is swiped on away, got again. He'll charge right side of the box, send it to the middle. Fafa Pico got on the end of it. On the far post, after it crossed the box right to left, Pico is there, delivers it to the upper portion of goal with a right foot. An explosive start for Inter Miami in the 8th minute. Fafa Pico scores for a second straight MLS match, and it's 1-0 Inter Miami.
That's our good buddy Ken Lavica, the voice of the Inter-Miami Herons on the Inter-Miami Radio Network right here on ESPN 106.3. Fafa Pico getting things off, starting things off with a goal in the ninth minute. And you can listen to Damian Perez on the Spanish side at 7:60 a.m. And you can listen to me on the English side do the pregame, halftime, and postgame. And Damian, one of the things I said during the pregame, I wanted Inter-Miami to get off to a fast start. It's been a rough three games heading into this. New York Red Bulls is similar to a team that Inter-Miami played earlier in the season, the Columbus Crew. They like to dictate the game. They like to control the ebbs and the flows of the game. I thought it was crucial for Inter-Miami to strike first, and they did exactly that with their guy Fafa Pico in the ninth minute.
Yeah, and Fafa Pico, he's a guy that we've been asking for minutes. Every time he's played, I mean, he gave us the win one game, and then this game he showed up. We've been asking for his minutes. Tadeo Allende has not been in form. So just to see Fafa Pico get off and get on the scoring sheet, it's just very satisfying.
And Leo Vega, the GOAT, as I call him on the Spanish side, who calls the games on 760 AM, he coached Fafa.
Yeah.
And I remember it was, Dame, I was there with Leo for Media Day with the Herons. And Fafa entered, they hugged. I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
He's been saying it all season,
too. It was the coolest thing ever that him and Leo have that special bond. And he's been telling us, he told you on the Spanish side numerous times, he told me that day that Fafa was going to be a special player for the Herons. Now, bit of a journeyman, right? Bit of a journeyman within the MLS. He's been on a lot of teams, but the teams he's been with, he's been able to contribute as well. I think this was a great get for the Herons in the offseason.
Absolutely, and a player that's very dynamic. You know, he can give you production on the wing. If we ever do need it, he can give you production as a striker, and he's already showed that he can put the ball in the net. So I think moving on this season, Mascherano has noticed Fafa Pico is a player that moving forward might get. We might see a little bit more minutes from Fafa Pico. After every appearance he's had, he's always shown up.
And this is his second straight MLS game with a goal. If we rewind back to the FC Dallas game, Inter-Miami did lose the game, but Fafa got a goal. Now, it was originally called an own goal at the time, but the MLS went back, made the correction, and gave Fafa the goal. So that was Pico's second goal in two, or excuse me, yeah, his second goal in two straight games. So something to look out for. I think Fafa, it's going to be hard for Javier Mascherano, the gaffer of Inter-Miami, to keep him off of the field. This is Messi Mania presented by our good friends at PNC. Let's keep rolling down on the highlights in the 4-1 victory for our Herons over the Red Bull. Oh, I love Sergio Busquets. Let's listen to a highlight from Sergio Busquets making a key tackle. If he didn't make this tackle goal, could have been, or tackle, folks, it could have been a goal.
And a fortuitous bounce for New Yorker, and they're on the run. 3-on-2. Forsberg right up the middle. Forsberg to the penalty yard. Oh, a beautiful tackle. It was punched away with a right foot by Busquets, showing every bit of his veteran acumen.
Now, Busquets might not have the legs he did back in the day. He might not be able to necessarily go box to box like he did a little early on in his career. I call Sergio a true deep-lying playmaker where you're going to see him kind of sit in the middle, make passes, come up to the midfield line, be active in the pitter-patter when you're around the box, D. But even with his old legs, he's still able to make fantastic plays like this one.
Absolutely. I mean, Busquets, the ultimate anchor, the ultimate unsung hero, because you don't see his production as well as you see Messi's and Suarez, for example, because they're up there scoring goals and assisting. But what Sergio Busquets does just kind of holds it all together. I feel like he's the glue for this Inter-Miami, always making the right decision, always looking for that pass to split defenders. And like I said, defensively, he's a great anchor.
And with Sergio and the Big Four in general, they've played so many minutes, folks. So many minutes of soccer between Messi, Sergio,
Alba. Oh, they can play blindfolded, I feel
mean,
like.
My God, they know, like, Ken did a great job on that call. Like, the acumen, the defensive acumen of Sergio to be able to determine where he might, like I said, he might not have the legs to keep up with some of these young players, but he's going to beat you to the spot because he knows where you're going. I think Sergio Busquets, a true, that Dame couldn't have said it better, true unsung anchor for this Inter-Miami defense, even in his old age. Let's get into our next highlight here, Messi Mania, presented by our good friends at PNC. Now, Damian and my good buddy Elias Bustamante on the 760 Deporte side, they're in shambles a bit after this game because Marcelo Wigan had a goal in this game. But Dame, I got two highlights here on it. Let's hear Ken on the first highlight because at first the goal didn't count.
That's right. At first, it was called offsides right away.
Yep. And let's go to that cut number three, Cello with the goal. And at the time, we think it's not going to stand.
On to Pico, left of the box. It's a beautiful cross. Point blank save, but staying with it was Wagon. And he scored, but he is offside, it appears. The goal will not stand. Wagon had Pico serve him perfectly. Wagon with a header. Coronel saved it. Then Wagon swung his right leg at the loose ball and scored. And I believe they're going to call a foul on Wagon.
So it wasn't a matter of a foul. It was the offside flag that did go up. Silly, Ken. The goal stands. Cut four.
After review, Miami number 57 was not in an offside position. The final decision.
It is a goal for Marcelo Wagon. Wagon with the goal. It stands. It's 2-0 Inter Miami. At the half hour mark, Wagon does indeed get credit for the goal. It's his first of the season, and Papa Pico's having himself a night. He has a goal and an assist, and it's a 2-0 advantage for Inter Miami.
To Ken's point, on the replay, the flag went up, offsides, whatever, but the referee decided to go to the monitor and take a look at this and open the theoretical curtain. Damien's on the Deporte side. I'm on the English side.
Oh, this review took forever.
I'm banging on the glass. It's not going to count. Damien's on the glass. No, Riz, it is going to count. And 5 minutes later, we finally got a result from the astute referee. But this one did count 2-0 in the game. And the reason I say Elias and Damien are in shambles is because you guys are big, big advocates because you're part of the Ian Frey fan club.
I mean, I feel like this is a good problem to have. You know, we've been asking for Ian Frey. Every time he plays, he shows up. He had two assists against FC Dallas, one including a nutmeg. I mean, he shows that he's such a dynamic player. But then again, Cello Wenger, he was the starter the entire season last year. He did show that he can play starter minutes. And it might have just been a case of slow start due to the injury that he had. That was kind of, it did linger. It did take a time for him to get back and get in shape. So, it might have just been a case of that. But I mean, back to my point, I think it's a good problem to have, to go into every week knowing that you have Ian Frey and Cello Wengart that are great right backs that can not only defend, but show that they can go up and attack.
And to your guys' point, to you and Elias's point, Cello was bad for a long time, for a lot of fixtures. And I think a lot of it had to do with his injury. Let's remember he was injured early on in the year as well. So I think he was nonetheless trying to maybe find his footing a bit. But he did get caught out a lot in that CONCACAF Champions Cup that I said I'm not going to mention, but he did get caught out a lot in those two fixtures against Vancouver. I think it was totally warranted by you two, but certainly silencing everyone a little bit with him having that big game. And I don't think
I'll take it
for sure. And I don't think anyone's happier than Javier Mascherano, Damien. I think he, you know, there's something to be said about sticking with your guys, and it worked this time around. You want to know who needed a goal in the worst way? I think he was like 0-10 in his last 10 games. Was this guy in cut number five.
I know he's lost sleep over that, too.
Yeah.
The drought is over for Luis Suarez. Off the rebound, he finally finds the back of the net. He tucked it inside the far post. Luis Suarez, how good does that have to feel? He hasn't scored one a play in the last 10, doesn't have a goal in the last 8. That is now over. 3-0, Inter Miami. It's a rout in Fort Lauderdale.
There we go. Ken said it better than I ever could. So what, 10 games, 8 games without scoring. God, it's a long time for Luis.
And especially for a player like Luis Suarez, who's kind of made a career out of being that guy who, I mean, his nickname is El Pistolero, which is the gunslinger, I guess would be the translation. I mean, that's kind of been his identity, to just go on a dry spell. I know he was losing sleep
over
it.
He's your guy, too.
Oh, man.
Uruguayan, right?
I've just seen him do so many things, not just for club, but for country. I mean, the emotions he brings to the game.
You don't mind him biting ears and stuff and the weird stuff?
I mean, that we can do without. That we can do without. But it's just, he just has so, he's rabid with emotion.
Absolutely.
That's what it is with him.
Absolutely. Now, D.
And he wears it on his sleeve.
Uruguayan, am I saying that right?
Yeah.
My buddy's always, like, I used to say Uruguayan. No. Uruguayan.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And if you even want to go further,
yes,
Uruguay,
I do.
Show.
Uruguay
show.
Uruguay show.
There you go.
As we know, Damien is Uruguay show.
There you go. Uruguay there you go.
Show. My guy.
Beautiful pronunciation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Luis Suarez gets a, I mean, D, at this point, it's 3-0. The route is on. Guys start coming off of the pitch. You and I both looked at each other like, oh, God. Is this going to happen again? Yeah. Mascherano subbing players off. Are they going to fall on their face again? Ultimately, it didn't happen. But they did find the back of the net. Red Bulls did find the back of the net. At the time, we thought it was Choupo-Moting, the former Bayern Munich product and player and international player for Cameroon. But it ultimately turned out to be a Mohamed Sofo goal. It was an Olympico. They basically called this an Olympico. Let's hear cut number 70.
Here is a corner from the far side, play to the back post. It's headed to the line and a goal for New York Red Bulls. It was headed back to the opposite post, and it's Choupo-Moting who finished short range. Sofo was able to get to that back post corner, send it to the opposite post where Choupo-Moting tapped it home.
Yeah, they ended up calling that a Sufo goal.
Really quick.
Yeah.
Olympicos are like unicorn rare.
Mm-hmm.
That was not celebrated enough if that was an Olympico.
No.
I mean, at the time, it didn't look like one, correct?
It was a header. Like Ken said, it looked like Choupo-Moting got in, but they ultimately, they turned it into
a goal line revision kind of thing.
Exactly. So, like, that, it was a bit odd. And unless you're Manchester United, you know, you're not giving up Olympicos that much. So... it's certainly one of those things where when you look at this game and the ebbs and flows of this at 3-1, it was that gaunting scoring line where FC Dallas was able to come back, but this wasn't the case because what's this segment called, Dame?
Is it Messy Mania?
Little Messy Mania. Well, let's give the listeners a little Messy Mania with cut 8.
Good left-footed delivery, Segovia, right back to Messi. In short order, here's Messi! It ballet to him outside the six-yard box, and he scores with a swinging left-footed shot, blasted it by Coronel. Lionel Messi is on the board. It's party time in Fort Lauderdale. Messi gives Inter Miami 4-1, Inter Miami.
And folks, that'll wrap it up with our great friends at PNC with a little Messy Mania. 4-1 victory for our Inter Miami Herons over the New York Red Bulls. It puts Inter Miami in the fourth spot. That win right there gives Inter Miami 21 points on that Eastern Conference table. Let's keep in mind, though, D, a couple of things here. Inter Miami has played 10 games. Coming up, it's going to be match week 12 in the MLS. They're still a game behind from their early bye week. So, for all intents and purposes, let's say Inter Miami catches up at games played and wins, they'd be tied for first place with the Columbus Crew. And D, forgive me, they'd be in first place because don't they have the tiebreaker over the Columbus
plus
Crew?
Plus 9 Miami, Inter Miami, and plus 8 Columbus with a game in hand.
It comes down to the goal differential, very astute by Damien. So everything's still in front of Inter Miami. If you know, D, I mentioned to you, I don't know how important the supporter shield is anymore. You did it last year, 73 points. You celebrated it last year. MLS playoffs is the gargantuan.
The supporter shield is only important and only becomes, like, I guess, relevant if you finish the job, if you complete the mission. If you just win the supporter shield and then you fall short of the ultimate goal, which is the MLS playoffs, I mean, it just kind of looks like, cool, you tried very hard, but at the end of the day, it didn't matter. But that's kind of what I see it as.
Totally. And this isn't European soccer. This isn't, hell, even Asian soccer. Yeah. Whoever wins the table, it doesn't win the whole kit and caboodle. Yeah, they win the supporter shield, but to Damien's point, you want to win the playoffs. Playoffs? You want to win the playoffs.
It's like a glorified participation trophy in a way.
Right. And we Americanized soccer. Yeah. Yeah. That's what we did.
We added the series like we do in NBA.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
NHL.
We need playoffs.
At least it's not 7-game series. I mean, imagine that.
Oh, my God. And D, you couldn't. You'd be playing 15 months out of the year.
It'd be like if they did it with the NFL. Right. You just can't do it.
How many months is it? What? The MLS season's what, 10 months?
Roughly, yeah.
I mean, you play 15 months if we had 7-game series with how many teams that make the playoffs within the MLS. But fourth on that table right now in the Eastern Conference, our Herons. The Columbus Crew in first with 24 points. Philly, the Philadelphia Union with 22, and FC Cincinnati. D, they finally lost. FC Cincinnati finally lost, by the way. They were on a five-game winning streak. 15 points in a row they were able to secure on that Eastern Conference table. But they did fall foe to New York City, NYCFC. Yes.
Cincinnati, I mean, they picked up Evander, and since 9 matches, 6 goals, 1 assist. Great signing for Cincinnati. I mean, and it's showed in the results and where they are on the table right now, because I think they're going to be contenders all season in that Eastern Conference.
We'll talk more about the other teams within the MLS when we go around the MLS with our good friends at Audi coming up in a later segment. But, D, I wanted to talk a little bit about the team here real quick before we take a timeout. You know, you finally saw Chelo Wiggin get back into form and get back. You know, he's not a goal scorer, so, like, let's not sit here and pretend he's going to be, you know, banging goals here within the next couple of games and throughout the next couple of games. But I think as far as a team standpoint, it was important for him to get back and fit and ready to roll game in and game out. And I think Fafa Pico, I go back to Fafa. He's given Mascherano something to think about off of that left side. We mentioned Tadio Allende has been on the injured side of things as of late. He was hotter than a blowtorch in the early games of the season. Just remember, the first 5 games of the season,
like 3 goals?
I think the stat was he scored 4 times in 5 games in 5 MLS games.
And they
games
were bangers.
Played.
It wasn't tap-ins like outside of the box, you know.
So Ken had FAU, what was it, the Dynamo game? D, I was on the call for the Dynamo game. I had so much fun calling that Tadio Allende. He finessed it. Remember,
he was on the
left side, and he went left to right, and it was one of the most incredible strikes I think I've seen all year out of an inner Miami player. But he was so hot in the beginning of the year, and he's kind of, I don't want to say gone to the wayside, but he picked up a knock, and he hasn't really necessarily looked like the same player since he's come back. I love that Fafa Pico is able to answer the bell right now for the Herons, D.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I mean, it takes pressure off Allende, because this doesn't mean that Allende is, you know, he's discarded from the starting 11. You know, it's just kind of like a thing where we have the players to rotate, and that's what it looks like. When you have good competition within the roster, when you have good competition at practice, that only produces good results.
Yep, and Pico on the MLS season, as far as a team side, he is second in goals with 3. Lionel Messi, after that goal he scored against New York Red Bulls at home, he is 4th. He has 4 goals, excuse me, and he is the top scorer for the Herons. Luis Suarez, how about that? Even after, you know, Suarez going 0 for his last 8 on goal and assist contributions, still has 6 assists on the year in the MLS season and leads the Herons in assists. Messi 2, Suarez 6 in this short year, Dame. And Luis Suarez, goal and assist contributions, he still is number 1 on the team. So how about that? All of the talk of Suarez and how bad he's been as of late, and trust me, I was one of those people. I was worried. I was worried there for a little bit about Luis Suarez. Still number 1 as far as MLS competition, and that's all we got right now because the Herons are out of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. But as of right now, Luis Suarez, 8 goal and assist contributions, number 1 on the team, D.
Yeah, and Mascherano kept mentioning that. You know, the goal scoring is not there, and he's sure that it will come. But everything he does aside from that, whether it's playmaking, whether it's just having that grit, that attitude, that just kind of, it just becomes, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like infectious, you know?
Yep.
It kind of just,
it spreads.
It spreads between everybody. You see somebody just going as hard as Luis Suarez, and that spreads. So like Mascherano said, the goals will come. As long as he's still producing when it comes to team playing, that Suarez is always going to be a top-class player.
Now, 2 players, I mentioned one of the players I'm a little worried about. That's Tadio Allende. The other one is Segovia. Now, I give Segovia credit last game. He played like his hair was on fire. He was all over the pitch. But it's been a while since we had a goal.
That's his position, though.
It's been a while, though, since we've seen a contribution from him. That Dallas game, he had a brace in the first, excuse me, that Houston game, getting my Texas cities mixed up. Segovia had a brace in that first half and an assist in that game. Hasn't really done much of after that. Now, Mascherano has been kind of mixing him in the lineups at that attacking mid-roll and on the left wing. D, where would you prefer Segovia, left wing or in the middle?
I kind of like him as that attacking mid player.
I
feel like
too.
He just gives more. And like you said, it's not just on the attacking with him. He's very good at recovering the ball and transitioning. So I just like him in that midfield position.
Yeah, I don't understand the left wing stuff. That's why you have Fafa Pico. If Tadio Allende, seems like Allende is the player of choice.
They're more direct. Allende right. and Fafa Pico, they're way more direct than Segovia. I think Segovia's qualities are more for a midfielder.
Definitely. And as far as tracking back, I call it a box-to-box role. Obviously, it's more of him staying up the pitch, but he has the ability of tracking back and winning
He reminds me of Diego Gomez, who we had last year and is off at Brighton.
He's that role he slid into.
That was the replacement.
Yeah, so Inter Miami, 4-1 winners over the Red Bull. Their next fixture's coming up. D, they're going to have three games in eight days. I'm interested to see what Javier Mascherano does with the great one, Lionel Messi. Now, Dame, forgive me for thinking he's going to play in all three games, because the next cup match we have is that inaugural game that'll kick off the Club FIFA World Cup against Al Ahly, the Egyptian Premier League side team, June 14th. So it's really MLS until June 14th. The three games are this Saturday at Minnesota United. That's a 4:30 start. We'll kick off things on the English side at 4 o'clock. Damien will kick things off on the Deporte side at 3:30.
Yep.
And then you have a Wednesday match with D. We're going to be here late.
Oh, man. 10:30? They did it to us, huh?
So this is what's going to happen. I'm going to get done with, oh, God, that's Pink's a D. That's Pink Smoke.
Earlier in the day, yes.
So next week, folks, this time next week, we're going to be doing Pink Smoke, previewing the game. Coming up against San Jose at 10:30.
And then we'll have to wait, 3 hours?
I live 7 minutes away, D. I'll probably shower, get into some jammies, get some dinner, right? But, yeah, we're going to have a long one. That's May 14th, next Wednesday. And that Sunday, D, that it was supposed to be a Saturday game, but it got moved to Sunday. That is against Orlando FC at 7 o'clock, two Sundays from now.
It's a little rivalry there.
Definitely. And I was about to say, that preseason game that was played at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay got a little chippy, D. Got a little chippy. Isn't that a derby? Derby.
Yes, we always see this with Orlando City. I believe it's called the I-95 Derby.
Yeah.
They just take that trip, I-95 South, and they meet us down here in Fort Lauderdale, and it's always a war.
It's a derby. So those are your next three games in 8 days, an Inter-Miami buffet, an Inter-Miami fan buffet, Inter-Miami at Minnesota, at San Jose, two straight road games, the 10th and the 14th, and then home against Orlando in the I-95 Derby. And we're going to have a lot of fun having all the games on the Deporte side at 7:60 a.m. and right here on ESPN 106.3. D, no rest for the weary. Hear me out on this, partner, all right? Minnesota, good little side, right? Minnesota, good little side so far on that table. San Jose, I don't think you could take them lightly either. Certainly not one of the, not one of the household names, but they're one place away from being in playoffs on that western side.
Minnesota's right behind Vancouver.
So still quality. So Minnesota is great this year. They've been the surprise team of Vancouver. San Jose is a team that's 10th in the Westie. You know,
they're scrappy.
They're one spot away from a playoff team. You got Orlando. That's a derby game. You don't want to take that lightly. The Union, who are sitting in second place right now on the MLS, Montreal, but Columbus after that. That's a tough little stretch, mate. That's a tough little stretch. The Minnesota, San Jose, Orlando, Columbus, Philadelphia. Those are four of the five fixtures before the June 14th Club FIFA World Cup down at Hard Rock Stadium. Dude, I'm saying, D, you're going to have to play some strong rosters, especially that Columbus game, man. Now, you got two. Here's the good news.
And Philly in Philly. That's a tough one, too.
Inter-Miami will play for 2 weeks after May 31st. So you do have some time to rest up, rest some players and whatnot. But, God, that's a D. That's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Four out of the six teams you're going to play are top teams in the respectable conferences on the East and the West.
And I'll tell you what, if we are going, I know every game is important, and I'm sure Inter-Miami and Mascherano are going to go out there with intentions of winning every single game. But if we're going to single out the priorities out of this, stretch, I would say it's the Eastern Conference teams. Philadelphia in Philadelphia. Then we got, before that, we got Orlando down here in Chase Stadium.
The I-95 Derby, baby.
Philadelphia in Philadelphia, and then Columbus down here in the Chase Stadium. If I had to single out, say which one, and I hate doing this, but it's the reality of how these things work, these leagues work, and it's a long season. So you're really thinking about the longevity of the team. So if we had to single out three, I mean, my three are those, the Eastern Conference matchups, especially because the Western ones, you got to travel. You have to go to Minnesota. You have to go to San Diego. Maybe those are the games where we rotate. We kind of see some minutes taken, shaved off of Messi and Suarez's legs. But I mean, if I have to prioritize some of those games in that long stretch, it's definitely the Eastern Conference games.
Inter Miami, three games in 8 days, starting on Saturday. You got Minnesota, you got San Jose, and Orlando from May 10th to May 18th. Going to be some fun times for our Herons coming up. Inter Miami, big winners over New York Red Bulls, 4-1. They break that three-game losing streak. And coming up next, we will check out the injury report with our good friends at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath for this game on May the 10th at Minnesota. This is Pink Smoke, Mike Rizzo, and now Damian Perez on ESPN 106.3.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome on back, folks. Pink Smoke, Mike Rizzo and Damian Perez holding things down till 7 o'clock. We hit Messi Mania with our good friends at PNC. Went through the latest news surrounding the GOAT, Lionel Messi, surrounding the team, Inter Miami. Inter Miami, big winners over New York Red Bull, 4-1. They break that three-game losing streak and get right back where they need to be. We have a fixture coming up, as I've mentioned, May 10th, 4:30. Saturday, 4:30, May 10th against Minnesota United. It is now time to go through the injury report with our good friends at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
Now it's time for the Inter Miami Injury Report, presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
And now a fight for it, one right back by Inter Miami.
Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com.
Foryourrights.com, folks, for 35 years. Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath have been taking care of injured people here in South Florida. Visit foryourrights.com. That is foryourrights.com. All right, let's take a look at this Inter Miami injury report. We have three players on the Inter Miami side. One of them has been a usual suspect, and that is David Ruiz. He is expected back mid-May, so probably, we're 8 days away from it being mid-May.
Yeah,
so,
and those hamstring injuries, they're tricky. Oh, they linger, and you got to give it the proper rest.
And how about this, all right? Those hamstring injuries, let's flip things over to the basketball side.
Oh, yeah.
Steph Curry picked up a hamstring injury last night.
They still got the win, though, which is crazy.
He's going to be missing games. So Baltasar Rodriguez also on there as well. He is the lone player from Racing, the Argentinian side. And we've talked about this before, but he had trouble getting that visa. He has the visa. He's practicing with the team. D, I can't wait to see his debut, whenever that may come.
I'm excited. I've heard great things about him. From what I've heard, what he's going to bring to the table is exactly what Inter Miami needs, which is creativity and that third offensive face of the game.
I wonder, is it going to be that attacking mid-roll that we talked about with Segovia and Kamaski?
I think he's going to play sort of like an attacking mid, kind of having Yannick Bright, Sergio Busquets, or Redondo as those deep-lying midfielders, and then just him right in front of them kind of just distributing and transitioning.
But yeah, I am excited for Baltasar as well. He has a hamstring as well. So two guys with hamstring injuries for the Herons. And then our third and final player that is on the injury report, presented by our good friends Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. Visit foryourrights.com. That is foryourrights.com. Drake Callender, groin. Now this is interesting. We talked in the break, D. Is he getting sold?
I mean, the writing's on the wall, I feel like. I just don't feel like Mascherano has the confidence in him.
He shot his confidence, too.
Well, to start, yeah, for sure, definitely. I mean, any professional will know the way he was treated by Mascherano. And it wasn't, like, directly disrespectful, but it's just he never got the opportunity at the beginning of the season. And everybody was asking themselves why. He had a great season last year. I know he was injured, but he wasn't practiced, so there was always that question why he wasn't getting the opportunity.
There's no secret. Javier Mascherano likes having Oscar Ustari between the posts.
That's his guy.
Whenever Ustari is available, he is the starter. And it's funny because a lot of my friends, that are, you know, on the outside looking in with Inter Miami, they're like, Chris, why is he starting that fossil? because they liked Callender. Obviously, they watched a lot. Callender was great last year.
Saved us many times.
Callender had many times last year was on his head. My good buddy Greg, who is really a soccer aficionado like the both of us, he goes, Riz, they're starting that fossil. I said, dude, put some respect on Oscar Ustari's name, baby. He's played well outside of that.
He has.
Of that red card against Charlotte. Oh, God, I still don't know what he was doing there.
And that's the thing. He hasn't given Mascherano a reason to take him off. So if he's already your guy, and on top of that, he's playing great, he's doing his job, then there's no reason why Mascherano would take him out.
A lot of times, Damien, to your point, how many times has Inter Miami just completely turned the ball over and put Oscar in a bad spot? And more times than not, like, there have been goals. Obviously, you're going to leak goals when you turn the ball over in your own half. But, D, more times than not, Ustari steps up,
makes
a big save, defends near post. The thing I can't fathom, as a soccer fan and my goalie,
I'm a Manchester United fan.
When you lose near post and badly, I got a big issue with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I have a huge issue.
That's kind of the cardinal sin, I guess, for a goalkeeper.
I could understand, like, all right, great strike. It went across your face. You got to defend near post. Like, I understand all that. But too many times,
Andre Onana,
I see someone get beat near post and go, how is that guy on the wages he's on? You don't see that from Oscar Ustari. And I don't want to put the Maloik on him, so I'm knocking on some wood.
There's been very few mistakes from Ustari. I mean, the only one that really comes to mind when I do think of an Ustari mistake was the one that you mentioned, the red card early on in the season. But, I mean, other than that, he's been very formidable, and he's given Mascherano no reason to take him out of the field.
Let's flip things over to Minnesota United. They have four players on their injury report. Hansi Dotson, Kelvin Yeboah, Kip Keller, and Owen Jean. Jean's dealing with an ankle, Keller dealing with the thigh, Yeboah an ankle, and Dotson a meniscus tear. Dotson and Yeboah aren't expected back until June. Kip Keller and Owen Jean, like all three of our Inter Miami Herons, they're expected back coming up mid-May. So that is your injury report presented by our good friends at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. You've been injured, folks. Hit up our good partners at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. They've been dealing with injured people and their families for over 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com. That is foryourrights.com. My guys at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath always have my back. Let them have yours at foryourrights.com. 4:30 kickoff coming up this Saturday. Minnesota United and our Inter Miami Herons in Alliance Field in Minnesota. Our coverage will begin coming up on the English side at 4 o'clock, and on the Spanish side with Damian and Elias and Leo Vega, it'll begin coming up at 3:30. So looking forward to this coming up in this big matchup. Damian, you mentioned Minnesota is a very threatful team. They've been a surprise team along with Vancouver so far this year. We'll preview this game a little bit. We'll go around the MLS in our next segment with our good friends at Audi on Pink Smoke.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Inter Miami back in the win column. 4-1 winners over New York Red Bulls. We got Inter Miami and Minnesota coming up at Minnesota Alliance Field. 4:30 start time coming up this Saturday. You could listen to our English broadcast starting at 4 o'clock, our Spanish broadcast starting at 3:30, 760 AM Deportes, and ESPN 106.3. We just went through the Inter-Miami injury report presented by our good friends at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. But now, folks, get your seatbelt on because it's time to go around the MLS with our good friends at Audi.
Now it's time to go around the MLS, presented by your local South Florida Audi dealerships. Test drive the new Q6 e-tron today at your local South Florida Audi dealer or visit AudiOffers.com to learn more.
Folks, make a statement. Pull into that lot at Chase Stadium this season with a brand new Q6 e-tron. You could test drive that beautiful Q6 e-tron today at your local South Florida Audi dealer. Visit AudiOffers.com to learn more. That is AudiOffers.com to learn more. Well, Minnesota United, the team Inter Miami is going to have to face off coming up on Saturday. If I pull up that Western Conference table, Minnesota is sitting in second with 19 points. How about Vancouver, dude?
How about Vancouver?
I'm like a squirrel. You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about Minnesota, but I see Vancouver, and I can't help but to talk about them. 26 points on the table. 26 points on the table.
Only one loss this season, which surprisingly did not come to the best opponent. It's a Chicago at home. I mean, Chicago's not the worst opponent in the league, but
Greg Berhalter, it's a pesky team. It's a pesky team in Chicago.
Didn't they just lose like 7-2 or some crazy scoreline?
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I'll get it for you.
This is around the MLS presented by our good friends at Audi.
They lost 7-2 to Nashville.
Nashville, not bad, but 7-2 is pretty crazy. By the way, Vancouver, win-win, draw, win-win. That's their last five games, 8 wins, 2 draws, and to Damian's point, 1 loss on the year. They're in first place on that Western Conference. But as I've mentioned, right behind them, Minnesota United with 19 points. Their last five, not so pretty. Win, draw, draw, loss, win. They did manage to pick up a win against Austin FC, 3-0, I may add. Very decisive and clear victory for Minnesota United in their last fixture. Portland in third, San Diego in fourth. How about LAFC turning things around a little bit, Damian? They are fifth on the table. LAFC picked up a 2-0 win over the Dynamo the last time they were out. Shout out my buddy Glenn Davis, man, for Houston. If we remember, rewind all those weeks back against Houston, I interviewed Glenn Davis, the voice of the Houston Dynamo. We still stay in contact. Good dude. Very good dude. Sent me a book about Manchester United as well, the Busty Babes. I'm about to start reading it. So
that's where the chemistry started. Once you knew he was a Man United fan, huh?
Oh yeah, big time, big time. Big game coming up for the Red Devils tomorrow, by the way. Austin, the aforementioned Austin FC, who lost the last time they were out. They are in sixth place with 16 points. Seattle in seventh, Rapids in eighth, FC Dallas in nine. So even though FC Dallas lost to our Herons, they're still in that final playoff spot on the Western Conference as of today. Folks, we're playing all the way until October. Things are going to change. But 9 teams come out of each respectable conference to make the playoffs. Let's head on over to the East. We've mentioned the top ones. Columbus, Philadelphia, FC Cincinnati, and Inter Miami. Very important, again, to note that Inter Miami has played 10 games, and a lot of these other teams have played 11. So the only team in the Eastern Conference that has had a bye week is the New England Revolution. So New England and Inter Miami sitting at 10 games played coming up on match week number 12 starting this weekend. Each of those teams, New England and Inter Miami, have a game in hand. And Inter Miami sitting at 21 points in fourth place. Let's say they played that hypothetical game. Let's say they got all 3 points. They would be in first place because as of right now, they have the tiebreaker over Columbus with the goal differential. Let's continue on the next couple of teams that are in the MLS playoffs on the Eastern side. How about Charlotte? Charlotte in fifth. They've lost. They're on L2. But before that, went on a little bit of a winning streak. Charlotte, a team we've seen as Inter Miami fans, Charlotte lost to Inter Miami when Oscar Ustari famously picked up that red card. Inter Miami played with 10 men for 70 minutes and were able to find victory. But Adjiman, their striker, very big, very pulverizing player in the middle that could score goals for them. And let's not forget about Wilfred Zaha as well. Zaha, always a threat no matter where he's playing on the pitch. They're sitting in fifth. Nashville in sixth. New York FC in seventh. Didn't we just say they beat somebody? Yeah, New York recently beat a top-tier team on that Western...
Cincinnati.
On the Eastern Conference, excuse me. So Inter Miami lost to FC Dallas. The only fixture where Inter Miami didn't win in 11 tries in the MLS was them. They drew NYCFC all those weeks back. Do you remember? Week one. It was my first game on the Inter-Miami radio broadcast. Toto Aviles picked up that red card, I believe, in the 20th minute. Inter-Miami played 80 minutes. I think there was like 10 minutes of extra time in that game. I think 100 minutes were played in that game. 80 minutes Inter-Miami played with 10 men. figured out to get a draw in that. Messi was brilliant. That was I think that was Messi's best game on the year.
Yeah, and Segovia tied the game. I believe it was in the 100th minute, 90 plus 10. So like you said, a game where it had everything. It had the red card in the first few minutes. It had Inter Miami just kind of grinding it out for, what was it, like 70 minutes. And yep. Then it had the goal in the 100th minute when everybody thought the game was over. Segovia gave us the tie.
Now, Aviles had two goals. Am I seeing that right? 5th minute and 23rd minute. And then, yeah, Segovia. But Messi, I said that was his best game. Dude, his assists were brilliant. He won Match Week Player of the Week that week with how well he played. So
I mean, I feel like Messi has a case every week.
Yeah,
even if he doesn't
certainly score
or assist, it's just what he can do when he has the ball at his feet is next to none.
By far the best player in the league, not even close. Orlando sitting at 8 and New England. The aforementioned New England Revolution. Remember I said they're the only other team on the Eastern Conference that has played 10 games.
The least scored on team in the entire league.
Wow, New England?
Only 7 goals. Vancouver's right behind them with 8.
Stingy defense.
But only 9 in favor, so it's like a...
They can't score.
It's a very weird dynamic.
They can't score.
Can't score, but don't get scored on. I mean...
By the way, D, on the Supporters Shield, if we flip it over to the Supporters Shield... Vancouver obviously in first, Columbus in second, Philly in third, FC Cincinnati in fourth, Inter Miami in fifth. But out of everybody in the league, the only two teams that have had a bye week so far, like because counting the Western Conference as well, the only two teams still are New England and Inter Miami. So that is Around the MLS with our good friends at Audi. Visit your local South Florida Audi dealers today. AudiOffers.com to learn more. AudiOffers.com to learn more. And also, make a statement when you pull into that lot at Chase Stadium with the brand new Q6 e-tron. Now, D, heading into this game against Minnesota, we've talked all show about Fafa Pico, Tadio Allende, that left side, the middle, Segovia, Benjamin Camacho. When I say the middle, our attacking midfielder within the middle to play alongside Sergio Busquets and Yannick Bright. I think those are the two positions I'll be looking at in these next couple of fixtures. I think Mascherano is holding open tryouts at both.
Yeah. I mean, those are the two. Like we mentioned Tadeo Allende, which if he's in form, if he's in that form that he showed at the beginning of the season, I think it's his spot. But I mean, like you mentioned, Fafa Picoult, every time he gets an opportunity, he capitalizes. So they're making the decision tough for Mascherano, which is what you want. It's a good problem to have. And I agree with you. I think it's going to be Fafa Picoult against Minnesota and Yannick Bright.
Now, something that I think has to be mentioned. 4-4-2 was the last formation that was played for Javier Mascherano.
It worked.
I think he goes back to it. Now, Dame, all intents and purposes, if he rolls out that 4-4-2, that attacking mid-roll kind of doesn't exist. Because that's the position you basically get rid of for the second striker up top. You have Bright and Busquets in the middle, and then your right and left mids. So well, I think the conversation, I apologize, folks, I think the conversation we got to have is it going to be a 4-4-2? And if it is a 4-4-2, who's off the left at that left mid spot? Is it Fafa again, or is it Tadio Allende?
I think it's a 4-4-2 on paper, but they'll play like a 4-4-1-1. So,
I see.
So
Messi
will
be behind Suarez.
And Suarez will be that single striker, which to it worked. I mean, if that's the case, it worked. Because we saw Suarez, who maybe wasn't focusing on being that goal scorer with the old formation. It shows with the assists that he has. And I'm not saying he's not going to get more assists moving forward. But playing that single striker, it's just his role to score. And I feel like that's where he does best. And Messi to be right behind him creating, whether it's Suarez, whether it's Fafa Picoult on the left, whether it's Jordi Alba playing that left back position, which we see Messi, he loves to play that ball to the left back. I think that's the best role, just freeing Messi and just kind of giving him that role where he can do whatever he wants in the midfield.
So you think it's going to be the aforementioned 4-4-1-1?
I do. I think that's the best. That's for the quality of players that we have, to just free up a player like Messi who just can go crazy right behind Luis Suarez, I think it's the best way to produce results.
I feel silly for not bringing that up until now. I apologize to our listener audience, but Javier Mascherano did change things up with a technically 4-4-2 with, you know, 4 defenders, 4 midfielders, and 2 strikers. But to Damian's point, Messi fell back more towards the midfielders, had the ball at his feet, and he made that was the most involved I've seen Messi in 3 games. Agreed?
Yeah, and it kind of takes away the responsibility of him having to drop and defend.
And that too, and even though he's listed as a right wing, Messi plays in the middle, bro.
Yep.
Even like how that formation would shake out more often than not on the 4-3-3 that we saw early on from Mascherano, you'd see Alba join the attack, so you'd have three at the back. You would basically have four in the midfield anyway with Alba playing up. And then you would have the three up top.
And it makes the team more dynamic because right. If Messi's playing on the right wing, then 80% of the play is going to come down that right wing.
And they like to hold on to the ball.
And we saw that earlier in the season.
That's one thing we know about our Herons. They like to hang on to the ball. They like to dictate the game. And I'm certainly interested in what's going to be happening here coming up against Minnesota United. I do agree it's going to be that 4-4-2. And to Damian's point, Messi will drop back a bit and let Suarez play as that kind of advanced striker role. Folks, you hear that music? That means it's time for us to go. D, appreciate you joining on, man. Welcome to the crew.
Oh, man. I appreciate you for having me, and it's a pleasure to be here.
We're a motley crew here. I know you don't watch One Piece, but we'll sing a little Bink Saki here in a little bit, all right? We'll sing a little Bink Saki. Folks, thank you to everyone who listened, rather. We have Inter-Miami action coming up on Saturday. You can listen to our English side starting at 4, our Deportes side at 3:30, 7:60 a.m., Deportes 106.3 right here. We'll catch up with you next time. This has been episode 12 of Pink Smoke.